is going to come and read from God's word, and then Jez will come and preach to us.
This evening's reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting at verse 2, which you can find on page 272. Nope, starting at verse 1, sorry, which is still on 272. Give us a smile when you found it, and we'll get cracking. Lovely. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warrior are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and makes them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed."
Well, good evening. My name is Jez. I'm a curate here. It's great to see you tonight. Please do keep that open in the Bible in 1 Samuel 2. And also, by all means, open the kind of service sheets. You can write some notes if you want to on the inside page. Why don't I pray for us? Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to know you. Thank you for the privilege we get now to come together as church family to hear your words. I pray that you, in your kindness and your mercy, would speak to us, that we would hear from you tonight through your word and by your strength. Amen. On the 21st of January 2019, my world was turned upside down, and how we lived would never be the same. I remember a friend driving us home a couple of days later, and Rachel and I walked back into our little flat in Battersea, but it wasn't just us walking back into that door. In the door, I was also carrying a new life, this baby, our oldest daughter, Corinne. And though we were tired, and at times still are a bit tired, our lives were completely turned upside down. It's been hard, but it's also been joyful and lots to give thanks for. Having a baby, it is full of many emotions, highs and lows. And today we see a woman's grief and pain turn into thankfulness and joy. Her world of sadness is turned upside down into praises, and tears once of grief are now of joy. A couple of Sundays ago, we saw how Hannah's world had just been turned upside down in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, where her prayers for a child were finally answered by the Lord. And as we'll see in this kind of pivotal prayer of praise, Hannah's personal prayer becomes a prayer for all of us. Let's remind ourselves of her story so far. Hannah lived in God's promised land in Ephraim. It's the land God had given to his people after they were rescued out of Egypt as slaves. And they're now free to live lives of worship to God and to be a light for all other nations. But it's not happening. Judges 21, which is a couple of chapter, books before this, tells us kind of the sobering situation of where Israel are at. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Now, that isn't a good thing. Israel was in a spiritual mess. There was infighting and unfaithfulness. And the surrounding enemy nations, well, their kings were constantly threatening to attack them at every moment. And it's in this mess, in this chaos, that we meet Hannah in chapter 1, lying in the corner of God's temple, weeping in great anguish and distress. And in her hopelessness, in her pain, God hears her, answers her prayer, and provides for Hannah a son, baby Samuel, and her world is turned upside down. Hannah's story of hope and rejoicing is seen in her prayer of praise in chapter 2, verses 1 and 10. But it's also far-reaching, and we're going to start with Hannah tonight, and then we're going to zoom out more and more. So first, in verses 1 to 3, we're going to look at Hannah's world is turned upside down by God. Then verses 4 to 8, our world is turned upside down by God. And to close, verses 9 and 10, the anointed king has come to turn the world upside down. Why don't I start with reading again verses 1 to 3 as we come to the first point. Hannah's world is turned upside down by God. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed." In the midst of unfaithful and sinful Israel, we see a woman's perseverance and prayerfulness to the Lord. We saw last time that her worship is raw and real. She's not just putting on a happy face, but she's giving the Lord her deepest heart aches. Her worship continues after Samuel is born, and she gives a thanks offering three times the required amount. She is thankful to the Lord. And her world has completely changed now. If you look from verses kind of chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see the difference. In verse 8 of chapter 1, we see that her heart is downhearted. But then by verse 1 of chapter 2, she starts with, My heart rejoices in the Lord. She is rejoicing in a God who has delivered her and given her a son. The thing that she wanted most, more than anything else, that God has heard her prayer, and she now knows how to thank him. She says, "My heart and my horn and my mouth." She's using all these amazing words to express her emotions towards God. And who's doing the deliverance? In verse 2, it's your deliverance, Lord. It is only God who can save Hannah and provide for her. Hannah prays using kind of the imagery of a horn. We see the word horn at the beginning and end of this psalm in verses 1 and 10. And horn is a kind of a biblical word that means kind of strength. It's a picture of victory after battle. And for Hannah, this really was a long-fought battle. The horn of victory is like kind of a victorious animal kind of going to battle, kind of going in and winning. It's a picture of the animal kind of fighting off enemies. And when they finish, they'll raise their horns as a sign that they are the boss. They are in charge. They are literally, you know, the goat of their area. Thank you. Hannah now sits high above her enemies. And actually, this probably is reference to Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, in chapter 1, who throughout chapter 1 kept taunting and mocking Hannah's misery and barrenness. Well, now her mocking has stopped. God has heard Hannah's cry, and Samuel has been born. And verse 2 says three times that there is no one like the Lord. Hannah knows that it is down to the Lord that she has been gifted a son. It's a blessing, and he deserves the honour and the praise. You alone, Lord, you are my rock. Her world has been turned upside down. Verse 3, it speaks against those who talk proudly and arrogantly. And I think that's presumably going back to Peninnah, Elkanah's other wife. She should stop her arrogance and taunting towards Hannah and instead listen to the Lord and praise him. So this first section, we see Hannah's victorious prayer. And it doesn't just stop with her. It's something for us and for everyone. Her words become the words that we need to hear tonight. And this is the second point, that our world is turned upside down. Verses 4 to 8, the more I look at it, the more it strikes me. It's like kind of a biblical manifesto of how God works. Let's read it, now, verses 4 to 8 again. Here we go. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumble are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, and those who were hungry now hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. Okay. I wonder if there's any kind of board game fans here or game fans. I used to love playing kind of Uno, and it was the kind of game where I would get into quite into it, even though it's just kind of a silly little game. And if you won it, you feel great all day. If you lose it, you kind of feel a bit sorry for yourself. But I definitely remember one moment in the game. I think one of my kind of competitors, let's call them that rather than family, one of them got to the Uno, the last card. So we worked out a way to get the reverse on him, and therefore we found a way that I could then win. And guess what? It was a great evening for me. We had a good time. And I want us to kind of look at these verses, that God is the God who reverses. He reverses the fortunes of others. He is a God of reversals, a God who transforms our lives. See, what the world thinks is strong, actually God reverses it and it becomes often weak. And then God reverses the weak to then become strong. Later in 1 Samuel, we hear this quite well-known phrase where it says, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Hannah wants us to get this now and get this about God. God doesn't work according to our cultural preferences. If God was picking a sports team or on a kind of interview panel or choosing friendships, he wouldn't use the measurements and judgment calls and school sets that we use. God's come to turn the world upside down. And he's come to show us a biblical worldview rather than an earthly worldview. And Hannah, amazingly, she gets this in her praise. She gets there is no one like God, the Lord, who is holy and her rock. This song is more than just a personal song of rejoicing, but a manifesto, a contents page of 1 Samuel, and a lens on how we are to view God's people and God's world. Verses 4 to 8 list how God is transforming and reversing lives of those who live in his world. No part of human life stands outside of God's control. He is always working. He's always hearing the cries of his people, saving the helpless and humbling the oppressive. So let's look at these verses 4 to 8, kind of God's manifesto, and see how he is turning the world upside down. First, in verse 4, God reverses power. He reverses power. Those who had weapons now find their weapons are broken. The bows are broken. I wonder when we see prime ministers and presidents and military forces. I wonder if God thinks they have power. I wonder if God instead seems to see those who look like they've been trampled on, those who have stumbled, in verse 4. Maybe they're the ones who he gives strength to over the apparent strength of others. Next, the first half of verse 5, God reverses the hungry and the full. Those who had everything, well, now they have nothing. They're searching for food. The well-fed are now starving. But the starving, well, they're now full. And what looked impossible, those who had nothing, they're now satisfied. I wonder for the nation of Israel, that the power and abundance were what they dreamed of as they entered the promised land as now free people to have this land and abundance. And yet they were surrounded by their enemies, who probably had bigger chariots and more food storehouses. They would have felt small and often hungry. But God is the God who hears the prayers of his faithful one and who will act. Next, second half of verse 5, God also reverses fortunes of the barren woman. This draws us back to Hannah's answered prayer, doesn't it? And we're not sure exactly when she prayed this prayer, whether it was at the temple, giving little Samuel to Eli, the priest, or years later. But it says in verse 5, she who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. We're not sure kind of why it's 7. Later on in chapter 2, verse 21, we see that Hannah has 3 sons and 2 daughters. Perhaps this is a picture of her abundance that God has provided for her. And her barrenness is a beautiful picture now of abundance. But I wonder if, again, Peninnah is mentioned here. Her apparent abundance of children, well, actually now it's turned against her and she's pining away. She's wasting away even with children. Just to be clear, I don't think that this is karma between Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah used her fertility to mock the wife, Hannah, with no children. She taunted and hurt Hannah so that she couldn't even eat. She was so upset. She used the blessings God gave her to curse. But Hannah used her blessing to praise God. God is the one who turns the tables. The one who couldn't now has now abundance, and the one who had everything now has nothing. God is the God who gives. He's also the God who takes away. And God can reverse every human circumstance. Verse 6, God reverses life and death. This is a pivotal verse in Hannah's song, Hannah's prayer. Hannah's been listing different reversals, and now she goes kind of for the jugular, kind of, you know, the big one, life and death. What's more transformational than that? And it's the ultimate reversal that only God can do. Amazingly, Hannah, one of God's kind of faithful servants, has understood that her God is a resurrection God. Verse 6 says that God is the one who brings death and makes alive. So that he is the one who both gives death and gives life. And then goes on to say he can bring down to the grave and also he can raise up. Our God is the one who can give life even to that which is dead. And then finally, verses 7 to 8, God reverses poverty and royalty. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them as princes. The Lord is a God who acts, who raises the poor and puts crowns on their heads. These are the verses we saw last month in Psalm 113, which we quoted last month. This is the picture that we can now be a part of God's eternal family. We can be royalty with him. So in Hannah's song of prayer, kind of why this kind of biblical kind of worldview, this manifesto here? Well, I think she tells us in verse 8, it says, "For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world." Hannah has the biggest view of God. She sees God as a God who looks down on his creation and go, "It is all his. He has set the world in order." And through Hannah's kind of poetry and praise, we see her declaring that God is over and in control of everything. All of life, our wealth and health, our circumstances are dependent on God. Nothing is out of his reach. And God doesn't want us just on a Sunday for a couple of hours in the evening. He wants our lives. He wants all of us to be lives of living worship to him in all areas of our lives. I wonder, do we see the world the way that Hannah sees the world? Is the God we worship as big as the God Hannah worships? Do we have a big enough view of God? So Hannah's song shows us two options. Will we be the ones who are raised up, or the ones who are brought low? The ones who are exalted, or the ones who are humbled. And maybe we're starting to feel a bit nervous. Maybe we think that because we're apparently winning in this world, we may end up losing. Will we be those who are raised up or those who are brought low? Maybe we are nervous. Maybe we've read these lists in verses 4 to 8 and we've realized, I have wealth and power and abundance. Maybe we're afraid that God will come and take all this from us. Maybe God will turn our worlds upside down. And, well, to be honest, I don't want him to. I'm quite happy as it is, thank you very much. I've worked hard to get where I am. I think if we're nervous of God taking away things from us, maybe we care too much about God's blessing than God himself. Maybe we've forgotten that all we have is because God has allowed us to have it. Our gifts and skills and clothes and homes and food and relationships are gifts from God. Do we delight in God more than we delight in his gifts he gives us? Do we love the gifts more than we love the giver? Can we rejoice with Hannah, like in verse 2, when she says, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Or do we use God like a vending machine, coming to him when we want to, and then just walking away when we're done? Well, the closing two verses in verses 9 and 10 tell us what it is to be faithful servants. And if we're faithful servants, then we win with God, not because of our own strength, but the strength of somebody else, of the anointed king. Now, verses 9 and 10, as we close, say this: he will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. If we are with God, then we too will be victorious. But there is a warning. If we're not with God, then we're in the same category as the wicked, and our destination will be darkness. Again, this happens not by the world's ways, but by God's ways. And the end of verse 9 could be kind of the summary of Hannah's prayer. It's not by strength that one prevails. It's not by strength that one prevails. We cannot win by our own strength. We win by the strength of another. This is where Hannah's prayer has been leading to. And we reach the climax in verse 10. We saw that in 1 Samuel, there is no king, and the people need a leader. Well, here Hannah tells us that the arrival is coming, this king, this anointed. Verse 10 says that the Lord, who is on high, thundering from the heavens and judging the earth, will give strength to this king and exalt the horn of his anointed. How will God bring about plans? How will he do this? How will he turn the world upside down? How will he turn his world upside down? Through his anointed king. Hannah doesn't know who this king will be, but she's hopeful and she's confident because her hope is in the Lord. And Hannah's prayer kind of sets up 1 Samuel. God will send his king, but who will he be? Well, in 1 Samuel, we'll have to wait and see. But for us, we know this anointed king, and we can know this anointed king. The word anointing here, it means kind of Messiah. It means to save, to be a savior. This is the king that will come to turn the world upside down and to save it. How would he come? How would he bring victory that Hannah rejoices about so confidently? Well, I think we see it through the manifesto of verses 4 to 8. This anointed king, it is Jesus. And just like verse 4 in this chapter, Jesus didn't walk to the cross with a sword and a bow, but he stumbled in weakness, so much so that he couldn't even carry the cross on his back to where he died. Like verse 5, Jesus came as a weak baby, a miracle baby to a virgin woman. Like verse 6, Jesus was brought low. He died for us and went to the grave and was then raised to life defeating death. Jesus defeated death through dying and rising. The cross turned the world upside down. God himself died so that we could live. No other God has done that for his people. No other God has shown such love as this. And like verses 7 and 8, Jesus' death and resurrection show that he is the anointing king, and he's come not just to save, but to welcome us into his family and bring the poor and needy to be princes and princesses welcomed into his eternal family. Verse 10 says that he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. For Jesus, this man who walked on earth, what looked like weakness to the world, to those who laughed at him, mocked him, killed him, was actually the most significant moment in history, in his story. And he calls us to do the same. The Lord calls us to be like Hannah in her faithfulness to the Lord. Hannah prayed to the Lord in her pain of chapter 1 and her rejoicing of chapter 2. Our prayers may seem weak to those around us. Our message will certainly look weak to those who care more about success and power, riches and fame and winning arguments. And our decisions, even to give our lives to serve a church and community here in Fulham, will look weak and foolish to the world. But God is in the business of turning his world upside down, where the weak will become strong. Hannah started her prayer relying on the strength of the horn that came from the Lord. And she ends her prayer knowing that this strength has been given by God to his king, a king that will save. Hannah's song is completed by another woman's experience, a miracle. And this woman talks about her unborn child and how this child will change the world forever, will turn the world upside down. Hannah's prayer is answered by another woman's prayer hundreds of years later. And the prayer is not just an echo, which itself would be amazing. It's even better. It's answered. It's fulfilled. I'm going to read this prayer now from this woman. Her name is Mary. This is in Luke 1. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds and with his arm. He scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham, his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This baby that was born was Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your anointed King, Jesus. We thank you that as Hannah rejoiced at the birth of her baby, we can rejoice because of the birth, life, death, resurrection, and reign of Jesus, our anointed King. Thank you that we can have strength in him, because he is our strength in all things. Help us this week, wherever we are, at work or in schools or with our neighbours or in Fulham, to know that we, when weak, can be strong because of your strength in us now and forever. Amen.